and welcome to the Hoop Collective podcast. We talk about the NBA, which we're doing on Thursday morning this week. Joining me from Boston, Massachusetts, finally back home in Boston, Tim Bontemps. His international travels have eased for the time being.
That's right. Hello, guys.
Although Ben McMahon, who was also back in the country, was also out of the country. Bontemps was chilling in Maine this week with his lobster friends.
Dude, I went to high school in Maine, not voluntarily, and I'm not eager
know.
To get back.
Calling it
high soon.
School is a little bit misleading. Little bit misleading.
I got shipped off to boarding school. I still,
which
have
I really
scars.
Encourage you to write a young adult fiction novel about someday.
You know what I found out? My boarding school no longer has a football program. I saw this on Facebook. I asked the headmaster if my number was still retired and did not get a reply. Jeez.
Okay, so we're a couple weeks away from the start of training camp, but one thing that is going on right now in the league, I can tell you, is negotiation is happening. People have come back from their summer vacations, and negotiations are happening right now between the teams and the guys who are at the end of their rookie contracts. The guys who are end of their third year, start of their fourth year, are eligible between now and October 31st to extend their contracts. And this particular class is prolific, number one, and number two is going to have some interesting decisions forthcoming. So a number of them have already extended. The most high profile being Luka. McMahon, how much did he get? He got the highest because he instantly qualified for the Supermax.
Yeah, he was the first, you can call it pre-qualified Supermax extension. And what was it, 206, 207, 200 and some odd. He's going to be in good shape with that Jordan supplementary income as well.
I mean, when I started covering the league, the max extension for rookies, and those were like six-year deals, or back then it was like, you know, like $60 million. Now we hit the $200 million mark.
Now you get a bigger extension than that.
Something like that. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander extended with the Thunder, which also was a max extension. Mm-hmm. Bontemps, do you remember, did he get a player option on that deal?
Nope.
I know
he was straight five.
Yeah.
Yep. After last year's class, when Donovan Mitchell and Jason Tatum got the player option, now it's going to sort of become the default thing. Like Trae Young got one. So it's always interesting to see which teams are able to fight back and keep it out of there. And the Thunder were able to.
Yeah, there wasn't much argument if Luka and Trae asked for it, and they both did.
That's right.
There wasn't a whole lot of arguing against
that's
it.
That's right. That's right.
Just Trae Young also got a full max. He has not qualified for the Supermax, but he can qualify this year if he makes all NBA. He got a player option as well. There was one other non-max extension, which was done by Robert Williams from the Celtics. He got Bontemps was 4 and 48. Was that the guarantee?
Either 4 for 48 or 4 for 50. The interesting part of that was it was fully guaranteed. And while I'm a big fan of his game, he's a super talented big. He's been banged up a lot throughout his career. He's only played, I think, 100 games, a little over 100 games over 3 years. So that was a pretty good job by his agent, Kevin Bradbury, to get that fully guaranteed. But look, if he's healthy, he could easily outperform getting $12, $13 million a year. He's you just go by pure talent. He's got a chance to be a really, really, really good player.
I mean, well, he has a chance to be Capella-esque for sure.
Yeah,
with the ability to do some more stuff too. Like he's really talented.
Real quick on the Celtics. The Celtics actually were in position to be a cap space team next summer if they wanted, even with Tatum and Jaylen Brown on their books. But next year's free agent class is pretty thin because of so many guys have extended, which we'll talk about in a second. So they went ahead and extended Marcus Smart and Robert Williams so that they wouldn't, they basically
and Josh
punted
Richardson.
On.
Yeah, I was going to say, and Josh Richardson was right. Surprised me a little bit.
That's right. So they punted on having cap space next year. And I think Bobby Marks told us this week that 12 players, 12 veterans, in other words, not guys on their rookie contracts, have extended their contracts this summer. That is I mean, I don't know where records would be kept, but certainly in my 19 years covering the league, I've never seen anything like it. Part of it is because in the current CBA, there was a change to the extension rules that made it easier to extend because teams didn't want guys getting to free agency, and that's working. But you think, you know, there are big names like Durant and Steph Curry who signed huge extensions, but there were all kinds of mid-scale players who extended. Like we talked last week, Capella extended, Terry Rozier extended, Marcus Smart extended. Who extended this week?
Aaron Gordon this week.
Aaron Gordon extended. So that has zapped the free agent market for this next year and really the year after to a certain extent as well. All right. So let's take a look at these guys coming off their third year of the rookie contracts. We're going to go straight down the list. And the number one pick from 2018 is DeAndre Ayton, who had a spectacular year and a strong playoffs. And I got to tell you guys, while he is a flawed player in some respects, and he's playing a position that is not as much in demand, which is true limited range center. If I'm DeAndre Ayton, I am saying max or nothing. He may not get a player option. He may not get certain bonuses in there. But Bontemps, I think DeAndre Ayton is not signing this year unless it's a max.
Yeah, I suspect probably that that's what the negotiation is about, whether it's because, you know, like you said, some of these have been done already and the ones that haven't, there's some sort of thing that's holding it up. And I would guess with him, it's either his camp trying to get the player option or his camp trying to get to a full max. And maybe the Suns are a little bit below. I would probably, if I was Phoenix, be pulling a pretty hard line with that and trying to do it a little bit below. Not because of DeAndre didn't have a great year and a great playoffs, like you said, but more to your point about the fact that the center position is what it is at today's NBA. And with there just being no money in the market next summer, I don't really see anybody coming in and offering him a max to leave. But given the good feelings that are going on in Phoenix, I'd be surprised if this doesn't get done. And I think to your point, it probably looks something like the Shea deal where there's no escalators in it and there's no player option and it just gets the full max for 5 years.
Yeah. I mean, there's no way he should settle for anything less than the max. Now, super max eligibility, you know, that's a different thing. Cause look, DeAndre Ayton, he could be a, you know, there are three centers are going to be all NBA. DeAndre Ayton's going to have a chance, especially coming off that finals run. Obviously he opened up a lot of eyes during the playoffs to, you know, the kind of impact player that he's become, and he's a legit two-way center. There's a big difference between if he sneaks on to or earns his way on as a third team all NBA center and suddenly it's a super max now than just what do you call it, Wendy, the fun max?
The fun yes. max. Yeah, these are fun maxes. Although I would say that we have to suspend the fun max when it comes to Luka hitting 200 million. That's no longer fun.
Well, no, because that's a super max.
I know. That's
right. It's a super fun max.
Yeah. There's no fun.
But,
the fun max is what Shea Gildas-Alexander got. That's the fun max.
Right. If I'm Ayton, though, it's fun max or nothing, bleepity bleeper. To paraphrase my old pal, which is Chandler Parsons.
One of Bontemps' classic stories he wrote on Chandler Parsons when he left the Mavericks.
Oh, giving Bontemps credit back. For my work.
I was going to say, Jesus. don't be giving me credit for that
story.
Did
I say Bontemps? I'm sorry, McMahon. He wrote this piece with
Ryan needs more coffee.
About Parsons that had this scene. Well, you tell it with a limousine. Just remind our listeners.
It wasn't a limousine. It was an old school taxi, actually. It was.
Oh, really?
In the
well, I envision it being like a, it was a sunroof. Wasn't there a sunroof?
No, a window. It was in the a glamorous alley in Bricktown, Oklahoma City.
Pink Parrot.
It was actually next door to Pink Parrot, a place that has since closed down. It was one of those.
Guy knows the bar scene in Oklahoma City like nobody else.
I have spent some nights in Oklahoma City. Bars,
I know. So. I know Pink Parrot. Shout out to Big Rich. I'm on scholarship there. No, but it was a place. I forget the word.
It doesn't matter what it's called. Anyways, just tell the story.
Long story short, a lot of booze and a lot of good times that night. And this is when Parsons is hurt during the playoffs, right? Going into his free agency, hurt for the second straight year during the playoffs, going into his free agency. He's out partying. They were with Amy Schumer, who happened to be there. David Lee was also hurt. He was out with anyways. And it wasn't unusual for Parsons and Cuban to go out partying. But in this, on this night, the subject of Parsons' contract negotiations came up, and it was like friendly, you know, beep talking. But so the bar, as Cuban's closing out the tab at the end of the night, the bar orders him a cab. Well, Parsons and his boys jump in the cab, slide the cabbie 100 and say, "Hey, take off. We're ditching Cuban. Just, you know, having fun." Cuban comes out as they're taking off. Parsons rolls down the window and yells, "Max or nothing, mother." Sorry, oh, now Jackson's Jackson. I figured it was more effective. It was more effective if you had a beep. Jesus,
man.
It was more effective if you have to beep.
Well, anyway, it's a good story. All right.
Was,
so
that was the lead of that particular story.
By the way, the Jackson. Was,
and of course, Cuban ultimately chose nothing. Yes. Yeah. The Grizzlies gave him the max, though. And boy, does Memphis regret that.
Yeah, they're still paying for it. Okay. So Marvin Bagley was the second pick. I do not see an extension coming in SAC, although stranger things have happened, but I do not see that happening. Doncic was the third pick. I don't know if you heard about this, but the Mavericks traded up to get him. Covered that. So here's where we start to get interesting names. Jaren Jackson Jr. with the Grizzlies, who missed most of last year with the knee injury. Definitely a core piece of their future going forward alongside Ja Morant. Bontemps, this is a dicey one. You definitely want to extend him. But you definitely think highly of him. He's going to get paid. But how do you come up with a number before this season when he just hasn't been able to play much and show much?
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about a guy who's, you know, super talented, a 7-footer who has shown an ability to be a volume 3-point shooter, kind of the prototypical stretch big in today's league, right? But he only played 11 games last year after knee surgery, to your point, and he's only played, you know, 126 games in 3 years. And again, this, I think this is going to be a pretty interesting negotiation to see where this ends up in Memphis, where, you know, their head of basketball operations, Zach Kleiman and Jaren's group. I'll be very curious to see what the deal looks like. My guess is that I don't think it's going to be a max, but my guess is this deal is going to look something like the deal that Joel Embiid got with Philly, in that it's going to be a deal that's got some creative injury protections in it and some incentives for games played and that kind of stuff. Because I mean, look, if Jaren Jackson is the player he's been when he's been on the
Joel
court,
Embiid's last deal, not he, Joel was one
Joel
of the guys
Embiid's rookie extension.
His rookie extension, right? To be clear, not his supermax, right? This one he just
and
got.
By the way,
but
like Kyrie Irving's contract has some games played. Kyrie Irving's contract, I was looking at it yesterday, it has 8 different incentives in it. They did that to pay to be able to have money to pay DeAndre Jordan, which is another wild story. But you know, there are precedents of contracts that have significant escalators in it for games played.
Yeah, so
Embiid's being classic.
Exactly. So the combination of his injuries and his talent, it makes for a pretty interesting negotiation. And like you said, this is one where it is going to be very interesting to see what the final number is if they get it, even if they are able to get a deal done, or if they don't just go into the season and say, "Hey, let's just see how the year goes and we'll get back to this next summer."
Yeah. And, you know, honestly, the other thing is injuries are a part of it, but he has not, his career hasn't taken, the career trajectory has not been what you anticipated. I mean, a few years ago, it was, hey, Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr., these are the two cornerstones, and you look at what Ja's been able to do, and you know Jackson has not had that breakout type of year. And there's quite, like, if he's going to play, ideally he could play a lot of center, but he doesn't rebound. There are questions about him, but he is a long arm, athletic, 6'11" guy who can shoot it out to 30 feet. Can put it on the floor. You know, they're in the little bit that they've played together, there have certainly been flashes of chemistry, has some defensive versatility and rim protection.
Stylistically, he's a perfect fit with Ja. Perfect fit.
Yeah, because he stretches the floor.
Great locker room guy, for as far as I know.
I've
spent a little bit of time talking to him. I really like him.
Yeah, fun personality for sure. But yeah, It might make sense for both sides just to let this play out into the season, let him prove, you know, he can stay healthy, take the next step in his career. And then, because at this point, if you're the Grizzlies, you have to come in and have a lot of that thing, a lot of that deal be incentive based. You just have to, especially, you know, it's the front office has turned over. But, you know, especially a franchise that was burned. We were just joking about Parsons, but seriously burned so badly by maxing out a guy with knee trouble.
Well, you guys got to be careful with spending in Memphis. Although I think I've said this before. I know this has been a time of great revenue growth, great net worth growth for the NBA owners, which is another podcast. Robert Parra, his personal net worth growth, from when he bought the Grizzlies to now is astronomical. Yeah. Robert Parra is now on paper one of the wealthiest owners in the NBA. So that doesn't mean that the Grizzlies are going to operate like they're the Clippers, but I think there was a time when people thought Robert Parra was barely holding on to the team. And that, depending on who you asked, was either BS or true, but Robert Parra is, he's not having trouble making the payments. Just point that
right
out. Okay. We mentioned Trae Young. He was the fifth pick. That's the fun max.
I think he's got a decent shot.
I do, but today it's the fun max.
Okay. For now.
I just wanted to say fun max again.
Okay.
Brian,
maximize the fun.
That's right.
Picks. By the way, I talked to several executives this week before we did this about this topic. And, one of them said he projected Jaren Jackson to get something along the lines of Jaylen Brown, which was a $100 million contract, you know, sub max, but still healthy. Sort of a betting on him to take the step forward as the Celtics did with Jaylen, and are probably very happy about it. Okay, the pick 6 and 7, both now in Orlando, Mo Bamba and Wendell Carter. Historically, John Hammond, who's a general manager, he's not the ultimate decision maker. That's Jeff Weltman. He's a president or vice president, whatever his title is. But John Hammond, who has a long history of being executive in the NBA, he has long been a guy who extends his draft picks. He has a long history in Milwaukee of doing it. They've been extending guys in Orlando. You know, they extended Markelle Fultz last year, for an example. So I don't know. You know, Carter's relatively new there, has had injury problems. Bamba, same thing. I don't want to spend too much time on this, but, they're rebuilding. They have to spend their money on somebody, but they also are in a position to have cap space next summer. And, you know, they could just let those guys sit there and do deals with them after watching them for another year.
Also, yeah, who's going to emerge from those two? Like, let them compete for a year.
I would say there's very
little. You do it now because you get it on the cheaper, maybe. That's why you do it now.
I would say there's no chance Mo Bamba gets extended. I'd be stunned given he's basically hasn't played in his career.
Well, I was surprised Fultz got extended. So I'm just getting it on the record.
Well, Fultz had at least played a little bit for them at that point. But I would say that I think there's a chance Wendell Carter gets extended. Wendell Carter's been pretty good when he's been on the court. He's been more like Jaren Jackson, where he has played well when he's played, but has had a lot of injury issues. And I would be curious if they were able to get, like you said, something done with him, if they're fans of him going into this season. Cause if he comes back and is healthy, he's another guy who's a two way big at the center spot who could potentially get paid if he got to the open market at some point. But yeah, I'd be surprised if Mo Bamba got paid for sure.
You have mentioned this, Bontemps, that you could see Orlando as a team that goes after Zach LaVine.
100%. They're one of the two or three teams with real money next summer. And him and Jalen Suggs would be a perfect fit. They've got Jonathan Isaac. If he can come back and be healthy, got a lot of defensive players around him. No state tax in Florida, good weather. He could be the guy there. I think the fit is pretty good on a lot of fronts. And
I think Zach
does get to free agency. It'll be interesting.
I think Zach wants to play for a winning team, though.
I was going to say that definitely flies in the face of yours. Wow, he's been around great players. He sees you know,
well,
he sees what it takes to build it.
I mean, look, Jalen Suggs. I mean, Jalen Suggs could be rookie of the year this year pretty easily. So, I mean, you know, that team, I think, could look pretty interesting with if they have another top five pick and Jonathan Isaac, if he's healthy, and Jalen Suggs. Like, that's, you know, that's a pretty interesting.
Yeah, they can get right back to competing for the 8 seed.
Okay. Just like the Bulls. Okay, so here's a tough one, guys. Number 8 pick was Colin Sexton, the Cavs. Colin Sexton last year shot 48% from the field, shot 37% from three, averaged 4 assists, which could be much better, a steal, 24 points per game. Nickname is Young Bull, plays that way, aggressive and sometimes out of control, but
on offense,
you know, he was the prime piece that the Cavs got back for Kyrie Irving, and has been the guy who has been anointed there, correctly or not, by that organization as the centerpiece of that rebuild. And I want to point, well, you know, now they have Evan Mobley, who in my view is their chance to be their franchise player. But they have paid Jared Allen 5 years and $100 million this offseason. So Jared Allen's a $20 million a year player. Colin Sexton is.
Forget that. They just signed and traded for Lowry Markkanen and gave him $70 million too.
Right. Well, that, you know, yes, but you know, true. But I think Sexton's not even in that ballpark. So I think Sexton I don't know for sure, but I suspect he's looking for the fun max, or close to it. And, you know, he is undersized for a guard in today's NBA.
He's a 6 foot tall shooting guard.
Yeah. You know, it's difficult.
The problem with Sexton is, you know, you're talking about a potential centerpiece of rebuild, where if you look at Sexton and like, what would Sexton, if he's on a really good team, what would his role be? He's Lou Williams. He's Jason Terry. I think he's that ideal bucket getting six man and not a franchise point guard. And so, you know, a very valuable player in that role, but are you given a max deal to a six man? And I know he's not a six man there, but like, if you're going to be good, that's what he is.
So the question is, let's say they don't sign him and he goes to restricted free agency. Is there a team out there that would come after him? Mm-hmm. There isn't a lot of cap space, but there isn't a lot of free agents. You know, if you're the Cavs, do you want to get something done so that you don't, he doesn't get to restricted free agency? And if a team could go get him, is there a team that would want him? I mean, really the real thing here is, if you don't know what Evan Mobley is going to be and you don't exactly know 100% where your team is going, like, I think if you were to give them truth serum, they would say, we know we're going to have Mobley, we know we're going to have Jared Allen. And after that, I mean, I think they like Isaac Okoro, but it's early. I don't know. Like, do they know that Darius Garland is going to be their one of their long-term backcourt players?
And that's the other thing. Like, is this Garland? What was it? Is this Sexland backcourt? Is this like a long-term thing? I mean, the hope was it could kind of be the East Conference version of Portland. But, you know, I think they're similar in that they are both essentially undersized shooting guards.
Vivid Seats wants you to get to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seat Rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code HOOP. That's code HOOP, H-O-O-P. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live. Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Yeah, yeah, so I mean, Okoro is a little undersized to be a small forward. So right. He's kind of a shooting guard too.
Yeah, it's a tough situation overall. I mean, I think Orlando, we just talked about Orlando with Zach LaVine. Orlando, again, would sort of be an interesting fit for Colin Sexton next summer if they're
they
just trying to
add. They have 1,000 guards.
Well, they've got Jalen Suggs.
They've got Fultz and Suggs.
They've got Suggs. They've got Cole Anthony. They've got, you know, RJ Hampton, who's got some promise.
I mean, I would say they've got Suggs. And then after that, they've got guys on the team that if they liked somebody else, they would just slide them in ahead of them.
Okay, but they've paid Fultz. You know, Anthony was. Yeah,
I mean Hampton is the guy that they really wanted in the Aaron Gordon deal. That
was I'm just saying they've got Fultz has been paid, and then three guards.
I mean, Fultz signed a 3-year deal that he's already in the first year of. So I mean, my only point is that if you are looking at the marketplace, they are again a team that if I'm Cleveland, I would be eyeing and saying if I was worried about somebody in free agency signing our guy, he would be a good fit with Jalen Suggs.
Yeah.
And that it is the sort of situation I'd be cognizant of. But to me, I'll be surprised if this extension gets done. Just because, you know, Cleveland has, to Brian's point, Cleveland has paid all these guys. They extended Chetty Osmond in the past. They paid this money to Markkanen, which is probably over what his market should have been. They paid Jared Allen $100 million the first day of free agency. If I'm Colin Sexton, I'm looking at that and saying, I scored 24 a game last year. I should be getting a max.
And 24 efficiently.
Yeah. So, and it's hard for me to justify for all the reasons you guys said, paying him a max. So this feels like one that's going to get to our restricted free agency, and then we'll see where it goes from there.
Yeah. And I think Cleveland reasonably could say, great. You scored 24 a game. We won 22 games.
Yes, that's right.
So apparently it wasn't that impactful.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Cavs, I think evaluating your competition here is key. Also you also have to know Colin and what you think would happen this year if he's not extended, whether that would inspire him to a great season or whether that would cause an issue. I don't know enough to know. I mean, his reputation is that he is, you know, totally focused on playing and, you know, a young bull. I mean, they loved him in Cleveland. Dan Gilbert loved the story when he got drafted about when he was playing for Alabama and they ran out of players and it was like 5-on-3 or 5-on-4 or something like that. Whatever the circumstance of that was. And like, he was like keeping him in the game because he was playing all over the place. Like Gilbert loved that. And, you know, frankly, Dan Gilbert, you know, likes the fight of guys who are slightly undersized. He has for a long time. Kevin Knox was the 9th pick.
Isaiah Thomas had a great run in Cleveland.
Well, it's one of the reasons they wanted him. They draft. Yeah, I don't want to get into that.
Sorry, that was not polite.
There's actually a history of the Cavs, whether it's second round picks or whatever. The irony is the guy that, you know, Gilbert has claimed in interviews that he really wanted. The other people who were there have disputed it. But, you know, Draymond Green, who was an undersized guy out of Michigan State where Gilbert went to school, like that would have been ideal. If they had gone for that. And, you know, Gilbert has said he wanted Draymond Green, but again, other people I was told, you know, there was different opinions. Kevin Knox was the 9th pick.
Skip.
I guess could get extended if the price is right, but
probably, skip.
All right, this is an interesting one. Mikal Bridges in Phoenix. Both Mikal Bridges and Miles Bridges. We should probably talk about them together because I think they're comparable. Mikal was taken 10th by Philly. You remember they sent him to Phoenix for Zaire Smith. Phoenix won that deal. And then Miles Bridges got taken 12th by the Clippers and then got sent to Phoenix or to Charlotte. I can't remember the nature of that deal. But anyway, he was 12th and he went to Charlotte. Bontemps, the Bridges, no relation guys, I think they have similar negotiating positions here. They play a position, you know, in and wing, two-way wing that is getting paid in the NBA right now. And Mikhail obviously was really good in the playoff run for the Suns last year. And guys who are playing there have been getting $16 to $18 million a year. And, you know, the Suns obviously have paid Booker. They have paid Chris Paul. They're going to have to pay DeAndre Ayton. You know, and here's another guy they're going to have to pay. And I could see him getting a contract that pushes the average between 18 and 20 million because, you know, there's going to be inflation. Yep. I could see him getting a contract that that exceeds 80 million in total value.
He should.
Yeah. Yeah, he's really good. I mean, if you, in a vacuum, you ask me if I want to pay Mikal Bridges or DeAndre Ayton, I'd frankly want to pay Mikal Bridges just based off the positional scarcity and the skills he has compared to Ayton, just in terms of looking at the league and the replacement level you can find at center or a 3-and-D wing. But that being said, if you look at sort of the way that position has been valued, there really isn't anybody. I mean, Otto Porter got a max deal a few years ago. That was kind of a fluke thing. That's an example of a guy getting restricted free agency and getting paid. But really, other than him, pretty much everybody else has been somewhere in the 10 to 18 to $20 million range. It's been paid. OG Anunoby last year got basically 4 for 72. You know, so I think if Mikal Bridges could get to your point, Brian, 4 for 80, something like that, and push the market.
I gotta tell you though,
bit.
I mean, like in talking to executives, you know, cause that's what I was thinking, like, you know, 4 for 80 range.
Yep.
But in talking to executives this week, they like, you know, they brought up Duncan Robinson.
Yeah.
You know, who I think they called it 90. I don't think it was quite full 90 guarantee.
Well, that was also over 5 years too. So if Bridges signs for 4, he's actually making more per year than
good
Robinson
point.
Would have been.
Good point.
Yeah.
Right. But to your point, I think that 18 to $20 million range somewhere is sort of what the sweet spot is. And that's probably where, my guess, he gets done, and it's somewhere around 20.
I think that's more than fair, more than reasonable. Given that, I mean, this guy just had shot 54 from the floor, 43 from three, and you know, he's an all defensive caliber guy.
Terrific.
Like he is one of the best wing defenders in the league. Now,
yep,
he doesn't create his own shot. Big deal. Like, they've got guys who do that. He fits really well.
Doesn't need the ball either.
Yeah, he's a great complement to Booker. He's going to stretch the floor. He's going to run. He's going to, you know, get some garbage points. He's going to finish in transition, and he's going to guard the other team's best player. Really, probably at least 2 through 4, if not 1 through 4.
Yep.
And then if you're Miles Bridges, a guy who averages 13 points and 6 rebounds, shoots 40% from 3, and is an electric athlete.
Yeah, one of the best
finishers. Perfect fit with LaMelo Ball.
Exactly.
I mean, you're looking at that alley-oop combination was just so much fun to watch last year.
You're looking at what Aaron Gordon just got.
Hey,
that was $22 million a year there. I mean, I don't think he's going to get that much because
that's not a bad comp.
Gordon's bigger. He can do a little bit more. He can guard a little bit more versatility, but. You know, I mean, again, I think if you're Miles Bridges here, he's represented by Rich Paul. He is not going to mess around. You know, Rich does not, as you know, mess around. Clutch negotiated, as you mentioned, Bontemps. Anunoby is somewhat comparable here. 4 and 72 a year ago. I think that's the baseline.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll be interested to see if the Bridges who goes first, if one waits for the other, because I don't think
Miles should be getting that much. So I'll be curious to see if that one gets to restricted free agency. I think there's a chance that it does.
Yeah. But like you said, he is an absolute phenomenal fit with LaMelo Ball. You're trying to build around LaMelo Ball, and you've got this young guy who, I mean, you could see them for the next 8-10 years, being a really good duo. Now, not necessarily a 1-2 punch, because you're going to, you know, he's not a number two scorer, but boy,
I just want him catching alley-oops from LaMelo Ball for a long time. That's my only interest here.
Right, and
stay there and do that.
Yeah. And shooting it well enough to space the floor.
Yep.
Again, my viewpoint is when you sign a contract, it's not always applicable to guys on rookie extensions, because sometimes you're making a wager that the guy's going to improve. You know my line, my old school line. I won't even say it. You're making a bet. But ideally, when you sign a contract, right after you pose for pictures and the guy goes on to his celebratory dinner and you sit down at your desk as a general manager, you say, if I had to, could I trade this contract right now? And if the answer is yes, then you've done a good job.
Yeah. And both those guys, if they're in that 18, 20-ish range, would be highly tradable.
That's what the way I feel. That's what, you know, my view is if Charlotte feels like they can sign him to a contract that if they had to trade him in a year and they, you know, when the deal kicked in and they could,
yeah,
you know, barring some sort of catastrophic injury. But okay, so there are now some guys we're going to bring up here who are in some very interesting situations. Michael Porter Jr.
Max or nothing, bleepity bleeper.
I think we can do this quick. I think it's just going to be like, I think this, we talked about this a little bit earlier with the Jaren Jackson deal. I think this is going to be the Joel rookie extension, basically down to the letter, in that there's going to be a bunch of injury protections for his back and he'll probably get a max or very, very close to it. But I would guess a max. And
well, we
can,
if
I'm also protections on the other side of it with the back stuff.
If I'm repping him, we can discuss injury protections. We can't discuss the max part. Like, we ain't coming off of that.
He's a guy that if he got to restricted free agency would get max offers, and he might get max offers that don't have as much protections in them. But he's also got a, you know, if he gets offered a contract that's, you know, what is the max now, about 170?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think Shea signed 5 for 171.
So that's, you know, that's for a guy who's had so much injury issues as him.
And his agent, Mark Bartlestein, is a guy who gets his guys paid. So I I'm sure is going to get done before the end of the, before the restricted window ends. I think it's just a matter of, like we said, what the protections are on it.
I have to say, Denver, you know, doing some spending. So, because, you know, they've got Jamal Murray on their books for major money, and they've got Jokic. By the way, Jokic is extension eligible next year and will almost he'll be supermax eligible. So,
yes, because he
he's headed towards the $250 million number or whatever it's going to be. You know, and they still extended Gordon, you know.
Right.
Yeah, good for them.
And they signed Will Barton to a multi-year deal.
Yeah, so, good for them. I'm putting a championship level team on the court. It's great.
Right. When you have a chance to contend, you keep that group together.
100%.
Right. Their number next year will be a number that they probably didn't envision ever going to. So we'll see. They have paid the tax in the past. Dan Kroenke has cleared the tax in the past when he's felt like he's had a chance at a championship, and he probably feels like he can do that. Of course, if something goes sideways, you know, some of those guys could be traded. But I definitely think that you're probably right. It's just a matter of working out some sort of protection where the player and team share the risk. Kevin Huerter, he went 19th.
Kayvon.
It's great.
They ain't extending Kevin. They're extending Kayvon if this goes down.
Just awesome. So now this is a guy who last year he averaged 12 points, 4 assists, 3 rebounds, is a versatile player, shoots the ball okay from range, not great, slightly above average. The Hawks have spent a lot of money here. They've, you know, obviously they extended Trey Young, as we talked about. They extended John Collins. What was that number, Bontemps?
About 5 for 125.
Right. We talked earlier, they did an extension with Clint Capella. They obviously last year did the deal with Bogdan Bogdanovich.
Yeah, I think you can stop there. I think that's what the Kevin Huerter side is looking at, is the Bogdan Bogdanovich deal, which is 4 for 72. I think they're going to be saying, we're a similar player, we should get that sort of a deal.
Right.
And I think
still
the
have
Hawks
Gallinari.
Could...
They still have Gallinari on their books for this season and next too. I mean, you're looking at...
He's got a very small guarantee next year. I would not be surprised if he's off the books after this season.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think that the thing here is a year from now, they're going to have the Cam Reddish conversation as well. So, excuse me, do the Hawks, you know, do they kind of look at this financially and say it's either or with Herter and Reddish, or, you know, do they feel like they can keep both those guys?
Herter is also a guy who I think, yeah, I agree. And here's the other thing. This is what I'm going to say. Herter is a guy that if he has restricted free agency, I could see teams going after him.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
So
remember, he's the guy that won game seven of that Sixer series for them. I mean, he turned Seth Curry into a ball rack in that game. I mean, he scored, I think, 24, 25 points. He was fantastic. So he's part of that core. He got drafted the same year as Trey. I think this gets done. And like I said, I it probably is for a little less than the Bogdan deal, but right. I think that's the range it's in.
Okay. So we talked earlier. Okay. So anyway, let's keep an eye on that one. That's an interesting one. Talked a little bit earlier about the Magic having two guys. So do the Bucks. Dante DiVincenzo, who, you know, had the ankle injury and was lost for the playoffs last year, but is a key, you know, like their one young growing prospect, you know,
very good
him.
Defensive player.
And, you know, and remember this offseason, they traded for Grayson Allen. Grayson Allen has become a bit of a journeyman now, three teams in 3 years. But Grayson Allen also extension eligible. Now, obviously, DiVincenzo has been there since day one. They've developed him. They know him. You know, Grayson Allen just arrived. It's a classic example. You could just say, well, play it out. We'll see how you feel or how everything looks. But it is a little bit awkward to negotiate with two guys on your roster who play a similar position who are both extension eligible. It's not something that you see happen very often.
True, but one has significant sweat equity with the franchise and was a starter last season, you know, and I don't know, he probably would have been a starter throughout the playoffs had he not been
definitely
hurt.
Maybe, would have been a starter throughout the playoffs.
Yeah, I wonder that in the net series just because of the KD matchup, but whatever. Where Grayson Allen is kind of, you know, that's kind of almost, I would say, a flyer.
Well, the Bucks have next season $42 million to Giannis, still a bargain. $37.8 million to Middleton, $35 million to Drew Holiday, still a bargain, and $14 million to Brooke Lopez. So, you know, getting those guys, you know, keeping role players, you know, is going to be important. You're going to need some guys. They're out of, you know, they've traded a bunch of picks, you know, to build this roster, which I
want full credit to Bucks ownership for spending money this offseason too, because when they didn't sign PJ Tucker, there was some question as to what they were going to do in terms of payroll. And they went out and they brought back George Hill, gave him some money. They went and traded for Grayson Allen, took on some money there. So they really Bobby have committed Porters. To trying to, they right. They re-signed Bobby Portis. They've committed to trying to run this thing back and win a title. So credit to them, like Denver, credit
Rodney
to them
Hood.
For doing that.
Is there a cover charge to the Deer District?
I will say
they might think about it.
Yeah, might ought to be.
This is good news for Bucks fans. This year is the last year that they have to have Larry Sanders on their books.
Wow.
And also the last year for John Luehr. So that $5 million combined comes off their books.
Man. That's an expensive $5 million
still,
this year.
They're still playing Larry Sanders. $1.8 million a year.
Be careful with that stretch, which, by the way, is certainly a factor in the Rockets having zero interest in buyout discussions with John Wall at this point.
Well, if you're going to buy out John Wall, you're not going to stretch his contract. You're just going to eat the bleep sandwich over the course of those 2 years. You're not going to, you know. like, you know, the Pistons didn't stretch Blake, did they?
No.
Yeah. So they, you know, it's just one of the, you know, you don't want that hanging around for that long.
Yeah. The other reason there's zero interest is because John Wall's not trying to give back, you know, eight figures on the deal.
That's true. That is true. That will be, you know, the one thing I was, you know, I immediately thought of, you know, no sourcing, just I thought about it. McMahon, because McMahon wrote the story about John Wall, basically going to sit indefinitely. Could they trade? Could they trade him for Kevin Love?
I thought about it, but even then, matching salaries, like it has to be Kevin Love plus, you know, and would Cleveland be interested in that? Because basically, they're trading a $60 million problem for a $92 million problem.
Well, yes, they'd be interested in it if it's incentivized.
Well, and that's the other thing. The Rockets, right? You know, things can change. Obviously, the Rockets right now are saying we're not trying to incentivize. We're not trying to give up any.
Well, I know they're not trying to, but if they did Kevin Love and a filler piece, let's say Jetty Osman.
Yeah, that'd be the one
for Kevin Kevin Love and Jetty Osman. That would save the Rockets something like $25 million.
Right. Right.
That may be, I know they don't want to incentivize, but they'd be getting something for that draft pick. They'd be getting Tillman Fertitta's $25 million, which I think he might like. So, but like, again, I'm just spitballing. I don't know that.
And they've got a lot of draft picks to choose from, but I can assure you they ain't trying to give up their own.
I understand that. So,
the late Nets ones.
But we've seen in the past when you have two contracts that are like immovable and it's an absolute mess. And by the way, it's not like the Cavs would be doing backflips, but John Wall could do some stuff for the Cavs, especially if they're not committed to Sexton. You know,
if they're thinking, hey, we can get something in the trade market also for Sexton or Garland, then he can certainly make some sense there.
It'd be a really big move. I was just wondering, you know, like Love is at this impasse with the Cavs, and now we're going to have Wall.
When you look at possible fits for it's like the Wall Westbrook deal last year. There's only, when you talk about contracts this big, there's only so many possible fits.
That's right.
All right. Well, real quick before we got to go, there's a couple second round guys who are in position to extend. One of them is Jalen Brunson, who's had a great run with the Mavericks. McMahon, we've talked about this a little bit in the past. Is that something that could get done?
I don't get the sense that there's a great sense of urgency on the Mavs part, meaning it would probably have to be something that they consider team friendly. Now there is some risk involved because, as Bobby Marks pointed out, the way his deal was structured, he'll be an unrestricted free agent.
That's right.
I forget the exact specifics, but the way his 4-year second,
because
round,
you signed for 4 years. You
with
become
no option.
An unrestricted free agent after the fourth year.
Yeah, I believe there's three guys in this same boat. Jalen Brunson, Mitchell Robinson, and Shake Milton.
Yeah. Now, I'll say this about Brunson. He really
– Shake is different, I think, because he was on a two-way the first year, Brian.
Oh, fair point. Okay. I rescind that.
Brunson had a great regular season last year, like was a legit six-man candidate in a really rough playoff series. And so I think – yeah, you know, if he's not a guy who is nudging them into the later rounds of the playoffs,
he's a valuable player, though.
No, he is for sure. I'm just saying, I think he lost potentially some bargaining power in you know these discussions because he struggled so much in the playoffs.
Yeah, Mitchell Robinson has a lot of intrigue, you know, there's some concern there about several factors, too. So I don't know if the Knicks are going to do anything.
Which is why he was a second rounder in the first place.
And it's also it's also part of why I think the Knicks just paid Nerlens Noel 3 for $32 million. You know, they look at him as, you know, they've got a guy who's locked in as a starter, and they could have declined Mitchell's option and made him a restricted free agent. They didn't. So he's on basically the minimum this year. And it'll be very interesting to see sort of how that shakes out or if they get something done with him.
Yeah. All right. Well, this is something we're going to be seeing some discussion about and some drama maybe in the next 4 to 6 weeks.
Next month goes right up to the start of the season right now with the new rule. It used to be to Halloween, but now it's the start of the season. So it's a month from today.
Right. Oh, man. Yeah. So that's kind of why I'm feeling an uptick right now, because you don't have the normal time. Okay. You're right. All right. Thank you, Bontemps. Thank you, McMahon. Thank you to Jackson, our producer. Thank you, Listen to Collective. Everybody have a great weekend. We will talk to you next week.
Adios, amigos.